was standing in the shadows of a dark alleyway that night, standing there for what seemed like several hours. It was raining. Of course it was raining. But a stormy wind kept the dark looming clouds moving at a steady pace across the sky. And every now and then, a gap would break to reveal the full moon that lurked beyond, illuminating the deserted streets in an eerie light. Then, finally, I saw it. It looked just like an ordinary man. Or at least, what passes for an ordinary man in this shithole of a town. But this was no human being. It was a lycanthrope. Or, if we're to use its common name, a fucking werewolf. The creature skulked from its den, taking in the empty street with a predatory gaze, before setting off for some unknown destination. Fucker hadn't even transformed yet, but aside from the Sergio Ticini tracksuit and the fag in his mouth, you could have put a lead on him and walked him around the park without anyone batting an eyelid. Anyway, keeping a very safe distance, I emerged from my hiding place and began to follow. As I tailed him down the street, I watched on in morbid fascination as what was the shape of a man gradually became the shape of a giant wolf. Two legs became four, and shaggy, long, greasy hair became shaggier, longer, greasier hair. Then suddenly, it stopped. It turned its head to gaze back up the street in my direction, but just before it saw me, my lightning quick reactions kicked in. I dived headfirst into another side street. I think this time it was the gap between the bookies and the pound shop. My landing was cushioned on a pile of rubbish-filled black bags as I came to rest beside seven empty tins of Tennant's Super and a fresh pool of vomit. Well, at least someone's had a decent night, I thought to myself. The acrid stench of urine in the alleyway almost convinced me to add to that pavement pizza, but I swallowed it down, trying to remain as silent as possible. You've got to hold your nerve in my line of work. A gust of swirling wind brought a copy of yesterday's Daily Record dancing past my face, informing me that a former Rangers player believes they'll do well this season. For a moment, this newsworthy story led me to consider my anti-post beds. Wonder what time the shop next door opens, I thought. And then, as I began to push myself back onto my feet, I noticed that the smell of pish had been swiftly replaced by something even more potent. The smell of wet fur. Slowly, I turned around to see the hulking figure of the lycanthrope towering over me, his muscular frame sporting razor-sharp teeth and claws, and a pair of red eyes that gazed right into the primal depths of my soul. And I'll tell you something else. It had some fucking size of a cock. A big, long, hairy bastard of a thing. It looked like one of those draft excluders. Mind the ones your gran would lie along the bottom of the door. Aye. Some fucking cock on it, that werewolf. Oh, hang on a minute though. Sorry. Doogie! Nah, not much. Just up at Glen Hall College doing an interview for their student radio station. Nah, it's fine. I've got a minute, like. Nah, we're on air now. Nobody listens to this shite, though. The presenter? Just some biscuit arse plucky wee virgin. Standard. 10 wanks a night by my estimation. Cunt actually turned up in a suit and tie to interview me. Ah, he can hear me. He's sitting right next to me in the studio. Well, if he wants to work in radio, he'll meet worse folk than me, Doogie. Besides, you know what these young cunts are like. Their brains are all rotted away from staring slack-jawed into their phones all day. They won't even remember this in an hour's time unless I put in a fucking meme for them. They invited me in to talk about why I turned my back on a glittering career in radio to launch a paranormal investigation podcast. I'm telling them the story about the werewolf episode we did. Aye, sub size, eh? Like one of the big ropes they tie ships up with, the big fuckers you find lying down at the docks. Anyway, look, the wee cunt's lecturers just appear at the studio window and he doesn't look too chuffed. Looks like someone does actually listen to this shite after all. I'll be in the pub by 3 though if you fancy a quick one. I know I'm due you a fiver. Aye, I'll have it. I'm charging these fuckers 200 quid plus expenses for the interview the day. I know, eh? Right, sound, aye. Okay, see you then. Bye. Sorry about that. My mate, Doogie. He helps me with the podcast. An ex-musician, eh? So he's really good at the editing and production and all that shite. You might have seen him on YouTube, actually. Not for any of his music. It was, because he once shot himself live on the telly. Well, that was a few years ago now. You know, it was all my fault, really. I'd had his bandmate cut on my radio show, and she was slagging him rotten. And then when he wasn't happy about it, well, I suggested we spike her with magic mushies before she went and did our next interview. Cunt got the horrors about it, of course, came clean and apologised to her. A poor move, though, because Kat's even more devious than me. She pretended all was well, got them on this tea time interview show, and then spiked his drink with laxatives just before they went on air. Funny as fuck, like, but it doesn't like me talking about it. Oh, it's got about 1 million hits on YouTube, though. I'll show you once we've wrapped up this shite. Anyway, you're not much of a talker, eh? You'll go far in this industry. It's always the vacuous cunts with nothing to say they get the top jobs nowadays. I tell you what, though. Let's forget about the werewolf or the big cock for now. Your one question was how I got started in podcasting. And I guess I've not really answered that yet. So, it starts as it always does, with me sitting alone in the pub. I'd gotten wind that Doogie was moving back up north after a couple of years down in London. He'd moved there almost immediately after he shot himself live on the telly, as you do. I decide to give him a wee call, find out if he's up for helping me launch my new podcast, The Terror Files. Little did I know that the very next evening we'd be embarking on our first investigation, a grisly trek down into a newly discovered vault under Edinburgh's old town. It was an investigation that would uncover something truly dreadful. Something that makes my blood run cold to this very day. It was an investigation that would change my life forever.
A Scottish podcast, the serialised modern audio drama. The links on where to subscribe and to listen to the full first season and beyond, head on over to scottishpodcast.com.